Daniel. And he had grown up in the house of the Lord. He had grown up under the tutelage of Eli. He'd been around all the spiritual things, but yet didn't know the voice of God. He had never had his personal encounter with the living God. And so he got out of bed and he went to Eli and he said, "Eli, did you call me?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." "Are you sure you didn't call me?" He said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Go back to bed. And if you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And this weekend, we held a children's prayer conference. And some of you were there with your children. And we spent Friday night and Saturday with the purpose of causing our children to be awakened in their spirit, to be able to hear the voice of God in this generation. Because today we've been challenged as a church, aren't we? Our children grow up in the church atmosphere. They know there's going to be some music played, a couple of fast songs, maybe some slow songs. They know there's going to be an offering and somebody's going to talk. There'll probably be an altar call, and even if they feel convicted, if they hold out long enough, they'll make it out the door without having to make a commitment. They know the system. Are we raising a generation of children who are in the house but yet don't know the voice of God? Church, it is our duty, it is our responsibility, like Eli, to teach and to train our children how to hear the voice of the Lord for themselves. Because I believe this is a prophetic generation. This is a generation that must speak to the people of this nation and the nations of the earth. This is a time when we truly need change. But not just typical change. Not just rhetoric that comes from campaigns, be it via Democrats or Republicans. I'm talking about the kind of change that causes revolution in the lives of people. Change that comes as a result of the revelation we receive. You know, I read this morning my Bible, and I was in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And the Message Bible says it so explicitly, so beautifully outlined, detailed. John had gone to church. It was a Sunday like any other Sunday. And he was worshiping God. But that Sunday was an invasion of the supernatural upon his life, where he received a revelation of Jesus Christ that he had never seen before. He saw the risen, conquering, victorious Christ. He was ushered into the very presence of God, and the Lord began to disclose to him what was going to take place on the earth in the last days. And I told Tina, I said, "You know what? I don't believe this is an ordinary Sunday. I don't believe that this is a Sunday that we shouldn't learn to expect God to break out on the scene and give us something that we did not know before. Let us see and hear that we've never seen or never heard before. Let us not come to the house of the Lord with the same old mentality of, 'Oh, it's just church.' No, it's not. This is an opportunity for us to see the voice of God and to get a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ like we've never had before. You see, I'm hungry for God. I'm not hungry for religion. I'm not hungry for what has been, but I'm hungry for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I know you are as well. And I think right now we ought to lift our hands up to heaven and just let Jesus know that we're ready for an impartation of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. We, with purpose today, have asked for our children to stay in this service. And the reason for that is because this is the third part of this great weekend of teaching our children how to hear the voice of the Lord. And I was going to do a separate session with just parents. And I felt like it'd be better for me to preach this session on a Sunday morning with everybody. So we can understand that we have been given a great responsibility. That God has entrusted to us the opportunity to raise up the Moses in this generation and the Davids of this generation and the Samuels of this generation. That God has given us the ability to impart His holy presence in the lives of our children. Open up your Bibles, please. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What a powerful scripture, because this for so long has been read in so many contents. You know, we have looked at it in different ways. And really, when you begin to read this scripture, you probably are so familiar with it. But it's the instruction that God was giving Israel about how to ensure that a generation does not miss the move of God. And He simply said this, "You shall bind them." May I say this, parents, you shall bind them. Talking about the commandments of the Lord. Bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets upon your eyes. You know, listen, it's not literal that you're going to write a scripture on your hand. Or somehow a scripture on your forehead so your kids can see that you're a Bible freak. No, that's not what we're talking about. But He says, we are people who ought to demonstrate by what we do the commandments of God. Our hand, whatever our hand finds to do, it demonstrates the commands of the Lord. Our children see that whatever we touch demonstrates the commands of the Lord. And whatever our focus is, our eyes, what do we see? What do we see in a generation? You know, sometimes I ask the Lord, Father, don't let me see the people like that. It so burdens me. I see mass traffic driving down 480, and I don't see cars and individuals with two or three people in a car, but I see souls that are moving from one location to another, many in torment, many without the knowledge of Christ, and the responsibility begins to weigh on me, and I think, God, I can't take this. And it was like Dr. Lester Summerall, the Lord gave him a vision of his generation. It was a vivid account of what happens literally in the spiritual realm. Listen to me, think of it just for a moment. He was awakened in the middle of the night and saw this vision of people on the edge of a cliff, and they were pouring in to this crevice, this cavern that was engulfed in flames. Millions of people were falling into this eternal torment. And the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, "What will you do with the generation that is slipping through your fingers?" And from that moment, he was changed forever. It was impactful upon his life. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a responsibility to impart the miraculous into the lives of our kids. And I want to share with you three simple points. May I do it this morning? I won't take a lot of time. But three simple keys in how to activate your child's faith. How to activate your child's faith. And perhaps you might even want to use this for your own Christian experience. How do I activate my own faith? How do I get in step with the things of God? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. The command is to pass on to our children the supernatural acts of God. He said, when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, "What's the meaning of going to church on Sunday anyway? I mean, come on, it's the same old thing every week, isn't it?" Well, that's not exactly what they said, but it's, "What's the meaning of the testimonies, of the statutes, and the judgments? What is all this about?" And you shall tell them of how you once lived in Egypt. I'm paraphrasing it. I want you to tell them what it was like before you knew Christ. I want you to tell them how miraculously you were delivered from drugs and alcohol. I want you to relate to them how you were bound by your own self-consciousness and your sin. And one day God gloriously, wonderfully saved you from that life. I want you to relate to them how you have been set free. Ooh, wow. He said, they're going to ask you. You've got to be able to tell them. You see, we've got to give our children the advantage. Now, I'm not a sports enthusiast. I know enough about it to maybe mimic some of the terms. But I do know this, that when you have home court advantage, that's a good thing. And teams often will not play for first place or getting in the playoffs. They're already there. They're playing to be able to play at their home field. And the reason for that is there's some phenomenon in sports that teams tend to win more often on their home court than they do on the opponent's court. Now, I don't quite understand that, because they're both regulation, the length, the width of the court, the baskets are the same, everything normal. You have stands, you have people, you have music, you have cheerleaders, you have all the things that you have on your home court, but the tendency is to lose more when you're away from your home court. And God spoke to me and said, give your children the advantage of home court. In other words, if we can't teach them to win at home, how do we expect them to win at school? How do we expect them to win on the playground? How do we expect them to win when they're out with their friends on a Friday night and you think they're over their best friend's house having pizza, and you don't know that they're in the car with three or four other of their friends? How do you expect them to win? So we've got to teach our children how to win with their siblings, how to speak right to their family, how to believe God in their young lives. Ephesians 2, I love this scripture. One of my favorite, verses 8 and 9. It's talking about by grace. Everybody read this with me. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. By grace. You see, it is something of a responsibility that we must exercise. In other words, teaching our children how they are saved. I have to challenge us, because I really believe that we have had a generation of church children that have prayed a little prayer and asked Jesus into their heart with no understanding of the grace of God and how to exercise their faith in that grace. From the time that a child is capable of understanding their salvation, it is our responsibility as a parent to invest in them, to teach them how to exercise their faith in that grace. Why? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must teach our children from the very earliest age how to exercise their faith. That's why we can't allow religion to invade the life of our families. In other words, don't go backwards once you were born again, once you were set free. Don't start keeping rules and regulations. Don't let people put you in bondage with their ideology and their philosophies of man. Recognize that you have been saved by grace and you have faith in that grace. Knowing this too, that if any man sins, God is faithful and just, what? To forgive us of our sin. And to do what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I can teach my child, if they fall, if they slip up, they can have faith in the grace of God and how to exercise that faith from the earliest age. You see, this is so powerful. This first key is called the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. For it is not by being born again that we have victory. Just because you're born again doesn't mean you'll walk in victory. It's faith that overcomes the world that is our victory. Amen? So you see, we have to teach our children how to exercise faith in what they know. And we have regulated our child's training in spiritual things to Sunday school. I'm an advocate for Tuesday school and Wednesday school and Monday school. In other words, we ought to be teaching our children when we rise up and when we lie down, when we walk along the way, taking every opportunity to impart to them how to exercise their faith in the grace of God that has been given. You see, we need to act out our believing by teaching our children how to open their mouth. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. I believe, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. Ladies and gentlemen, from the time our children learn how to speak, we should take advantage of their ability to communicate and how to exercise their faith in what they know. We believe, therefore we speak. In other words, I'm going to train my child in how to declare the word of the Lord in their situations. Now, let me just warn you with this, because they will be very peculiar, even among other church children, because it's a rarity on the earth for parents to take this mandate from God that seriously, that we set our children aside and say, this is how you speak. This is what we declare. This is how we exercise our faith. You see, the key of knowledge is so vitally important. It activates our faith. And to activate means to accelerate an occurrence. Accelerate an occurrence. We want to accelerate what we know that God can perform. And we do so by exercising our faith. Because simply being born again doesn't guarantee us the victory. Our children need to learn today, from the earliest age, when they can begin to utter syllables and put words together. I have a granddaughter who we're celebrating her birthday today. She'll be 2. Her name is Emma Rose. And she can speak. She can say hot tub. And clearly defined, hot tub. She can say a number of things that she wants. And when you try to give her words that you want her to say, she'll make a decision as to whether or not she wants to say it. But even at the age of 2, I can begin to train her to speak words of faith. And it should be a common occurrence that when a family runs up against a challenge and there's a trial that comes, that our children should come and lead us. Isn't that what the scripture says? A child shall lead them. Have you ever read that in the Bible? But can I tell you that I've seen very few children lead me? And neither have you. Because if you've been around church for any length of time, you'll find that most of our children today, as a matter of fact, statisticians say this, less than 4% of this generation will end up serving God. Every child in this room that is in our children's church age, which I understand is what, 1st grade to 5th? And kindergarten to 5th. Could you please stand? Kindergarten to 5th. Please stand. Come on. Stand up. Okay. Now, how would you guys like to do me a favor? How would you like to come sit up here with me? Come on. Just find a seat up here. Just hang out on the floor. Come on. Just hang out on the floor here. Come on up. Yeah, come on up here. Just hang out. Just find a place to sit. Now, don't let me step on you because I walk around a lot. But you guys just come up here and sit with me. The statistics just a few years ago were about 80% of children that grow up in church, once they get to college, will fall away from the kingdom and not return. 80%. Today, we see these children, I don't know how many are up here, say there's 25 children. Today, they're saying probably 4%. If you can give me just a little walkway here, because I want to walk up there and see everybody over there as well. About 4% will actually serve the Lord into adulthood. If we could fast forward the lives of these children 15 years, let's go 20. If we could fast forward their lives 20 years, let's imagine what they will be doing 20 years from today. Growing up in church the way it's always been. Living in homes. Come on. That call themselves Christian, but yet never have understood the seriousness of the mandate of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Recognizing that as a parent like Manoah, what you're raising. Like Jesse, who you've got watching your sheep. that we don't even realize what is in the belly of each of these children that have been prescribed from the foundation of the world. And God said, I have something powerful in them. They'll go to the nations of the earth. They'll be successful business people. They will have an impact on their generation in their school. We have no concept. We have no idea. But God knows the plans, doesn't he, that he has for them. And there is an attempt even today from the moment of the birthing of that child to abort the eternal destiny of God that is in their bellies. And it is our responsibility to stand together and say, not on my watch. My children will serve the Lord all the days of their life. And so that means I'm going to have to make some changes in my own personal life. I'm going to have to realize, as was illustrated just a few moments ago by the Breathe Drama team, that this is a generation that is sleeping. They're on the computer. They're watching Hannah Montana. They're in their iPod. They're hanging out listening to music. What possesses a parent to spend $300 for a ticket to go see a girl who can't even sing? I'm sorry. I feel I got better singers sitting right up here on the front row than any Hannah Montana I've ever heard. What possesses a parent? Come on, look at somebody and say, what is possessing us as parents? Come on, let's ask somebody. Ask somebody. Now, I never promised that if you came to this church, you'd feel good during the sermon. But I do say you'll feel better when you leave. We're in the process. Look at somebody that you've never seen before and say, hold on, he's in the process. It's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. There is something that is transferred by the words you and I speak. Isaiah 34 and 16 tells us that the words that are spoken, there is a transfer that takes place. So as parents, we must be very careful what we say. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. In other words, when we speak words, they have power to establish. When we speak the word of God, it has an ability to not return void, to be established. But watch this now, because the first key is the key of knowledge. The second key is the key of hearing. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24 says this, take heed, therefore, how you hear and speak. Therefore, watch this. He said to them, take heed what you hear. Mom, I'm not listening to the words. I'm just listening to the beat. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said it to yourself? You know, I mean, I'm watching this movie, and yeah, it's got a bad part in it. It's got some sex part in there, but I don't really watch that anyway. And it's not bothering me what they say, you know. I mean, I can just wade through that. I mean, I like the theme of the movie. Watch this now, because this is very important. Please get this. Take heed to what you hear, because with the same measure you use, in other words, on the same level of your hearing, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more, next verse, will be given to you. So what I'm hearing will determine my measure of my receiving. So there must be voices that are vying for my attention. Because what I hear, I can produce. So wouldn't it seem logical that the prince of darkness is attempting to put words or thoughts in our mind so we would produce the content of that word, right? So is God, who's vying for the attention of these children, who our generation, our society, has designed it to mold these children not into the image of God. Every one of us have had that experience. The things we've heard, the things we've seen, it has impacted us and molded us to the place where now we are not able to produce the kingdom of God through us, because we haven't heard the kingdom of God. Now look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Please look at this verse. This is a powerful verse, man. This verse here just gets my motor running. Whew. Ezekiel 2 and 2. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. Now what happened? When he spoke, what happened? The Spirit entered. Let me ask this question again. When he spoke, what happened? A Spirit entered. So can we surmise that when we hear certain things, words have their origin in the Spirit? Right? All things have their origin. Substance is in the realm of the Spirit, manifested in the natural. So when I hear a word, it has its origin in the Spirit. Therefore, the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. Now we're talking about the Word of God. Ezekiel's talking about how he was set up on his feet and he heard him who spoke to him. He's talking about God. But can I say, what possesses children all over the country to spend $300, $700 on eBay to get a ticket to go watch a little girl sing up on a platform at the Gund Arena with 20,000 crazy other screaming kids? What possesses them to do that? When I heard the word, a spirit possessed me. Now, I'm not advocating demonic possession. Please, don't take me that far. But I'm telling you this. There is a spirit in this age that is using medium, that is using secular music, that is using movies and videos and iPods and gaming time and all of this stuff that we spend all this time on, and we fail to realize that the words that we're hearing carry with it a spirit. I'm not advocating throw out all the movies, all the TV. I'm not advocating don't let your kids have an iPod. But you ought to listen what they're listening to every once in a while. Just say, let me listen to that. And if they resist you, throw it away. Yeah. Oh, no, Mom, it's all right. No, give me that thing right now. Why? Because we are their protectors from a spirit that is entering. You know, I never understood this as a male. But guys, some of the struggles that you'll have in the realm of lust will be as a result of words that you'll hear spoken. It's all, that doesn't bother me. Then why do they have 1-800 call me and we can have sex? All you got to do is get on the phone, pay $85 a minute or whatever it is, to hear some woman. If you saw her, you wouldn't want to talk to her anyway. Come on. I'm just illustrating the point here. Why would you pay to have someone talk to you dirty? Say, now, Pastor, I thought this was church. We're not supposed to be talking about that kind of stuff in here. But you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm talking about? I'm talking about people who will pay to hear these things, and these words will produce a spirit. Release a spirit into our life. If we do not stand in the gap for these children, if we don't defend them, if we don't protect them, if we don't give them the word of the Lord that they need to hear, then they don't stand a chance. 20 years from now, there'll be 4% of them left in the church, and most of them will be living a defeated life. I've just determined that we're going to make a difference. I've just determined we're going to change things. Come on, somebody. I've just determined that it's time for us to draw the line in the sands of the church and say, you know what? We're not doing church the way we used to do it. This is called a community of faith. If I raised my kids again, I don't know that I would put them in a public school. I don't know that I would even send them to most Christian schools. I'm telling you today, because here's how the enemy works. The enemy works through comparison. 1 Corinthians, I think it is 12, talks about comparing ourselves among ourselves. It is unwise. There is a certain amount of peer pressure on these children. Did you know that if these children were to laugh and scorn another child long enough, they can induce shame into that child and cause their self-worth to be damaged? Why? Because of the pressure or the peers that disapprove of their conduct, or they somehow will expose how they look and consider them to be either disadvantaged or somehow peculiar to the rest of the group. Children can be very cruel. Now, I'm not saying raise your kids in a bubble, but I am saying this: watch therefore what you hear. Don't let them hear the things of this world that they ought not to be hearing. Listen, I work with children, my wife and I, with Joshua kids. Matter of fact, we've been around them for a long time. We've got 3 and 4 year old girls and boys that are talking stuff that married people ought not to even talk about. And be able to relay sexual acts, talks of violence, using curse words. And I'm talking about children that are nothing but 4 and 5 years of age. They already have had a spirit that has gripped their heart and is controlling their life and is leading them into a place of destruction. I say it's time that we come against that spirit and declare the word of the Lord to our children so they can begin to speak out the covenant promises of God. Let's give them the home court advantage. Let's give them the home field advantage. In other words, let them learn how to win at home. So when they get into the school, when they get into the church, they have the victory. You know, I don't know about you, but I've pastored a long time. And I've had these situations where we've had parents come to us and kids in children's church are talking negative to one another, talking faithless words to one another, talking about let's go out and do this and do that together. You think, my God, I go to church. I would think that you'd find at least at church people wouldn't be talking like that to my kids. But I've got my kids talking. My kids are being talked to by other kids who are influencing them. And I'm telling you, it seems like there's no place to go where there is that word of the Lord that is coming to our children. But listen, it doesn't have to be like that. See, we could be a community of faith that says, wait a minute, our first priority, it's not a building to meet in. If we have to, we'll get a tent somewhere. If we have to, we'll meet in sections and different times of the day. I'm not worried about that. Our first priority is not a television show or a radio program. Our first priority ought not to be what we're going to do overseas. Our first priority ought to be, what are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with these children that are here growing up in our midst and in our presence? Are we filling them with the word of the Lord? That's our priority. So the key of hearing, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. In Acts chapter 14, what a powerful story, verses 9 to 10. A man just heard Paul preach. He was just hearing Paul preach. And Paul saw that faith was rising up in his spirit. And as a result, he was healed. In other words, he heard, he believed, and the spirit behind the words entered into him. That was faith. I'm preaching in here faith this morning. I'm preaching what I believe, that the word of God is real. And because I'm speaking it and you're receiving it, you're receiving the spirit behind the words that are being preached. That's why some of you are getting stirred in your spirit. You're saying, we're going to change things around our house. We're going to start calling on God on behalf of our children. We're going to take a stand for righteousness in our community of faith. Then all of a sudden now, you see that there is a change taking place because of the spirit that you have received. I'm telling you today, church, the key of knowledge and the key of hearing is powerful. And thirdly, the key of thanksgiving. You know, I was not long ago with some people that were a little older than I. And I had a 20-year-old there with us. And as we were talking, the 20-year-old said, oh man, I'm out of here. I said, why? What are you talking about? This is old people talk. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you guys are talking about your surgeries, what hurts, what aches, how you can't get out of the bed in the morning. He said, that's just too old for me. I went out of here. And you know, it hit me. It hit me. We need to learn how to speak our testimonies and not our trials. We are so good at talking about how bad things are. Aren't we proficient in talking about our trials. Oh, I got problems. Pray for me, brother. I got problems. Our children are learning how to speak the trial and not the testimony. You know what I'm trying to do? I said, Lord, appoint a watchman over the words of my mouth. That scripture we're trying to memorize this month about let no untruth come forth out of my lips, neither let no deceit be spoken from my tongue. God, I don't want any wordless speech to come out of my mouth. Why? Because I know that when I speak that way, I am giving glory to the devil. I'm giving glory to circumstances. Let me tell you something about David and Goliath. You guys remember the story of David and Goliath? Did you ever hear of that? You remember David? Little shepherd boy, and Goliath was the real big dude with the giant. You remember that story? You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you put it up on the screen, David never came to Goliath and went, ooh, he's big. He never said that. He never said, look at that spear. Whoo, that thing must weigh 12 pounds just at the head of it. He never said, that's the hairiest legs I've ever seen in my entire life. He said, your servant has killed the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, he will be just like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. He never spoke his trials. He spoke his testimonies. And our children need to learn early on in age and their home court advantage that when they go through difficult times and challenging times, they don't talk about how big Goliath is, how big his sword is, how many people he's taken down prior to this. Listen to me. We need to start teaching them how to say who they are and what God's done in their life and how they as well are going to get the victory for the glory of God so they can have the advantage in life. It requires speaking the truth in love. Hallelujah. I do not want to speak the negative. I do not want to speak the trial. I want to speak the testimony. You know, some people don't even, you know, we used to have testimony service. How many remember when you had church with testimony service? There's a few of you. But you know what testimony service got into? People didn't have real testimonies. They started clothing testimonies with trials. Talking about how the devil was beating up on them and how their families, this and that. But God came through. Well, thank God. I'm glad he came through. And, you know, and after a while, it's like, I don't want to hear another one of those. Those are pathetic. Those are just like, you know, they're killing the spirit in here. So people don't do testimony services anymore because we've lost our testimony. What is a testimony? A testimony is Revelation 12, 11. Lock and load, baby. That's how they overcame the devil, with the word of their testimony by the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. There was a day when I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. I was bound, but now I'm free. I give all the glory to God. God gave me a job when I had no job. God received me by His Spirit when I didn't even know where to look. Somebody just give Him praise. That's what I want to say. That's what I want to give God glory. Our children need to learn how to testify. How to testify. Grumbling and complaining. Let me say it again. You've heard it already at least 3-4 times since we've been meeting. This is our 17th week. Your mouth was given to you as a gift. Its intention was not for grumbling and complaining. Its use is for ruling and reigning. So if you find your mouth filled with grumbling and complaining, you need to wash your mouth out with soap. Have you ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Today you'd probably go to jail for that. But when I was a kid, oh, look at all these children raising their hands. Okay, you can put your hands down now. I actually was talking to the adults. I really wasn't talking. If you're a parent, you ought to be proud. I told you the story. Maybe I didn't. I was talking in church one Sunday morning. This was a church that you attended where you weren't allowed to talk in church. You couldn't laugh in church. You couldn't turn around in church. You could not look behind you in church. And it finally got to me. I was about 12 years old. I had to look behind me. I wanted to know what was back there. Mom said, don't you look back. Don't you turn back. You just look straight forward. Don't you talk to your brother. Because if you do, you're going to get it when you get home. And I looked back. And I just saw people. They were as bored as I was. They were just sitting there. Mom grabbed me by the collar and back out to the car. And she said, you're going to get it when you get home. I said, oh, we're in trouble now. We should have never looked back in church. She went home and on that linoleum floor in the kitchen, went out and got some rice out of the pan, out of the can, put it down on the floor, said, roll your pants up. I said, okay, roll my pants up. Now kneel down in that corner and don't get up till I tell you. I know it sounds abusive, doesn't it? How many know that I still to this day don't like to look back in church? When I got up, I had to pick the rice up out of my knees. Soap in my mouth for saying bad words. I remember our children when they were growing up. My wife used to flick their lip. They talk back. She'd come over and they'd go, pop them right in the lip. Flick that lip. And it's an amazing thing. All she had to do was posture her hand in that position. And they'd go, we need to learn to teach our children the dangers of an unrestrained life. It is dangerous to run in the house and run through a plate glass window. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to talk to that girl who doesn't know Christ. It's a non-covenant relationship. Get off that phone now. Your very soul is hanging in the balance of heaven and hell. We won't talk to our kids like that. They may not like us. But let me give you a revelation. You are not your child's best friend. You're their mother. You're their father. And it's all right to be a mother, and it's all right to be a father. Amen? In Numbers chapter 13, an interesting thing took place, and I'm going to close with this. If you can hang on just for a few more minutes. Think about it with me. Millions of people came out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They're about to go into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb go into the promised land and come back. 12 spies in total. They declare to all the millions of people, it is just like God said. Land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be awesome. And the other 10 said, oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you what's there. Yeah, there's land of milk and honey. There's big grapes. There's all this stuff. But there's giants in the land. You know, a lot of people say when you get to heaven, I want to meet Abraham. I want to meet Joshua. I want to meet Caleb. You know who I want to meet? I want to meet Joshua's parents. I want to meet Caleb's parents. You know why? Because they stood alone. We need to teach our children how to stand alone. How to stand alone in faith. Regardless of what their friends think. Regardless of what the rest of the family thinks when they come over for the holidays. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We don't talk like that. We speak faith here. Probably ought to put a little placard above the door when you come into your house. We speak faith here. Let everybody know. See, it's time for us to come out. Not to be a closet Christian. Not to try to appease everybody. Try to be politically correct with everybody. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't get along with most Christians. I'm just going to tell you that right now. They consider me to be over the edge and radical and extreme and highly emotional. I can't help it. That's what they say. They say I have a disorder. You didn't know that, did you? Now you know you have a pastor who has a disorder. I have young pastors come around me. They tell me I'm too passionate. You're too emotional. People won't come to hear you preach. Especially over on the east side. They're too refined. They're too dignified. They don't want anybody like that. They want somebody who just is able to speak to them calmly. And
and in 20 minutes, be done. I said, I can't even get started in 20 minutes. You're going to be different as a family. Make that determination. Make that decision. Do it this morning. I'm not going by the way of this world. Our family will be different. I will live my life differently. I will not be marked by the community in which I live or the churches that I have attended. God help us as a church. Can we be different? Can we put our focus in our children? I mean, really, not just to buy them gadgets and bells and toys and have the best of all of the equipment for children's church. That's not what I'm talking about. But can we have a community of faith that supports one another, that helps to teach the children? Listen, when all the children in this room, we can use the reverse peer pressure. In other words, when all of them speak faith, the one that doesn't is going to want to know, Mama, could you teach me how to speak faith? Because everybody at church is speaking faith, and I don't know how to speak faith. Mama, can you teach me how to speak faith? Instead of us hearing that four-letter word come out of our child's mouth for the very first time, and we say, where did you learn that? Children's church. Children's church. The Christian school. And you get on the phone and you want to talk to the children's minister. What's going on over there in children's church? Look, we're only one person. Rochelle and Marcia, you're one person. They're not the parents of these kids. They're not being a responsibility to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You have. And I accept that responsibility. Let's make it a difference. When people come into this place, when they gather here at this church, under the anointing of this place, can they come in with the expectation of the miraculous? Can they come in knowing that we are just a little peculiar? We really believe that our children will lead us. We do believe in Joel 2:28 that says, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. I want to see children prophesy in the middle of the church service. That's what I'm looking for. I want them to lead me. I want them to declare faith. I want them to come and rebuke me as the pastor and say, Pastor, that's not faith.
Good now.
I'm not afraid of that. I want us to create that. I want us to make a mark. I want us to be different. I want us to be Holy Ghost. I want us to go back to the New Testament. I want us to take our faith seriously and just embrace the teachings that God has given us. These three keys. Number one, knowledge. Number two, hearing. And number three, thanksgiving. That's what I was trying to get to and I never did. But that's all right. Teach your children how to dial 911. You know, every child learns how to do that. You've heard it on the stories, on the news. I love watching that. These good stories are so heartwarming when they report about how a child dialed 911 and saved their mother or their father or grandmother. Have you ever read or heard a story like that? It's so moving. But we ought to teach our children what God's number is. Jeremiah 33:3. Dial 333. Call upon the name of the Lord and He shall show you great and mighty things. And another phone number that God always answers, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. See, teaching our children how to be thankful to the things of God. We're raising a generation, I'm not saying these kids, but I've seen a lot of them who are selfish, who are lack motivation, who are lazy. I mean, come on, Destiny Village, our village in Haiti, our orphanage, we have 30 children there. I've been there three times this past year. And I was eating dinner with the children. These were children we got out of the ghetto, out of the street, naked, dying. I mean, we brought them in. They had one meal every 3 days. Now they eat three meals a day and a snack before they go to bed. But we finished our meal in the kitchen, and guess what they did? They ate everything and got up and went out and played and left their plates on the table. And I said, wait a minute, time out. This isn't America. How did you get to be like that? Well, the kitchen help that we pay cleans up their plates for them. Now, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong. We pay two men every day to clean the grounds up of those 5 acres. We pass out candy to the children. They open it up and they eat the candy. Where does the wrapper go? On the ground. Now, these are children some 2 years ago who didn't even have clothes to wear. You say, well, why are you even supporting it? Because I believe we ought to change that mentality. I believe that something is wrong there. I believe that we're not teaching children the responsibility. Don't come around me and say you're bored. I'll find you something to do. I'm bored. Well, honey, would you like to play this? No. Would you like to do this? Play with the dolls? No. Would you like to clean the toilet? Would you like to change the sheets on the bed? No. Raising a generation of prophets and prophetesses whose words won't fall to the ground. That's what we need. Whose words won't fall to the ground. I say this over every one of these children, that their words will never fall to the ground. I want to give my life to impart the Spirit of God into you guys. That you, when you come to this house, you will learn the Word of God. You will learn how to win in life. You will learn how to be victorious. You will learn how to speak faith, how to walk by faith and not by sight. You will learn that you are the head and not the tail. I want them to understand that they are the apple of God's eye. And I want you to help me do that. I'm not interested as much as getting a building. I'm serious. I care less we ever get a building. I want to see them built up. You know, God will take care of the building. Matter of fact, let me give you just a quick testimony. I met with one of the realtors for this church down the road here. And the guys that were going to buy it decided not to buy it. I said, that's cool. So it's still available. And the price came down. And I called another man, and he was my first king. And he said, I'm thinking about it. Well, he called me back. He said, we're really thinking about it. I said, you are? He goes, yeah. I said, that's awesome. And the Lord said, don't borrow money to buy it. I said, God, that's unconventional for me. Because I can do things my own way. And we were a couple of days, my wife said to me, here's what you do. Here's what we can do. We'll tell this developer that we have these 4 acres in Lorraine we'll give you if you give us that building over there. And we won't cost us anything. So I said, okay. So I called him up. We had a meeting Friday. I told him about it. He goes, wow. He said, that is a great idea. I said, I wish I could tell you it was mine. It was my wife's. And so the developer who is going to meet with these people this week has already given me a 90% yes. That's crazy. Now, I don't know that it's going to work out. I don't know that's going to work out, but I'm going to tell you this. I told them what we wanted. I said, I want the sanctuary building, the house after it so I can have some place to rest, and the building behind that. And then I want parking for Sundays and middle of the week. And I was waiting for him to respond, you know. He said, okay. I said, did you hear me? He said, okay, that sounds like it. We can probably work that out. So see, God works all that out. I'm a firm believer. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. This is my business. This is my business. This is my business right here. These children are my business. I want to impart to them my spirit. If they want it, I want to impart to you my spirit. If you want it, I want to release my anointing into this generation and into this region and raise up a testimony for the glory of God that everybody would have to declare, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Not man, Jesus. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to finish this service this morning by receiving our morning tithe and offering. But I'm going to tell you this, church. You're not giving to me. I don't take a salary from this church. I don't get any extra money for coming out here. I'm not interested in that either. All that you give is going to go into the future of what you see sitting over here. And I want every one of you children, please, to stand up. And I want you to stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, all the way across the front. Put a little bit of space. Put an arm length in between you. You know how to do that? Military style, like that, okay? And you come over here, military style. Okay, that's good. All right, get it all the way down. All the way down. And I want you to focus on something this morning. And I'm as serious as I can be. I want you to focus on what you see here today. Don't look at me. I want you to see that. That's the only hope for this generation is our investment in them. That's the hope right there. There it is. And in a moment, as we receive this offering and our tithe and offering this morning, we're believing God that He's going to give us a facility. And I want to say this, thank you for your generosity. I want to say this, thank God for Embassy Suites who are allowing us to meet here. They're giving us a beautiful rate right now. Now, it doubles in September, in February. How many know Tommy Tenney's going to be here February 17th? Okay? So we'll give you tickets, and all of you get in first. And I mean that. Anybody else that doesn't attend the church on a regular basis will have to stand out in the foyer. Because it's full now, and we'll be absolutely jammed with Tommy Tenney. We're going on the radio this week to advertise it. We're believing that God's going to send a lot of people, but you get in first. So, Troy, can you remember to give me a ticket? Write tickets up for the people, and I'll give you a ticket. It's free, and you'll come in first if you have a ticket, because I want Church on the North Coast to get in here first. I don't want people that are saying, well, I'm going to go hear Tommy Tenney. No. I want you to get in first. But that's on February 17th, and we're going to believe that God is going to work this region for the glory of His kingdom. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to give this morning? Help us to minister. The prices are going up. We just negotiated again for another 4 months through the end of the year. The price went up again. But I'm believing that God's provision is in the house. Hallelujah. All right, guys, you all the way down there? Here's what I want to do. After you give, if your children are up here, I'd like for you to come and pray with them and lay hands on them. I'd like for you to come and make a covenant to them that you're going to change the way you live at home. That we're going to make a covenant to raise up a godly generation. That you are my mighty man of God, you're my mighty woman of God, and I'm believing God for your victory. So I want you as parents, after you give, to do that. Are you ready to give? Make your check out to CNC. Hold it up before the Lord. Father, thank you that you have given us great things to enjoy this morning. Father God, our children are the delight of our hearts and our life. We say, Lord God, may they be big in Jesus. Hallelujah. May they be big in their faith, God. We just speak that over them right now. And we say, Lord God, have your way in this place. Have your way in this region. Let us raise up a testimony for the Lordship of Jesus Christ that would be undeniable by every person who would see what you have done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, go ahead and receive that offering. And as you were giving your offering, I'd like for you to come and pray for your child. Can you guys split out a little bit? Spread out a little bit more? Give a little more room in between you? Yeah, that's good. Okay, Mom and Dad. I want you to come as soon as you give, begin to lay hands on your children and pray for them. God is going to be big in their life. This is a Holy Ghost moment. Come on. It's a Holy Ghost moment right now. Thank you, Lord. Diane, I watched that video this week, and I was moved by those people under that bridge. God's going to meet that need. I believe with you. I spoke it in existence. I said, Lord, it's only $4,800. You can do that. We'll have that by March. I believe that. I believe that. God's interested in people that live under bridges or live in the best of communities. Amen? God's interested in every one of your children that are here today. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Go ahead and sing, guys. Thank you, Lord.
The King of Glory.
I'd like for you to reach a hand out to these that are praying. Maybe you got family with you. Why don't you get together and pray? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless these children, Lord. We bless these children, Lord. We say, Father, they'll never be the same. We lay hands upon them today. We consecrate them and dedicate them to your work and to your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Maybe if you're here with your wife or your spouse, why don't you take them by the hand? Say, we're going to make our home a place where faith talks, a place where faith walks, a place where the commandments of the Lord come forth. Go ahead. Why don't you just do that with your spouse, maybe your family member. Maybe right there between just you and God. Make that covenant with Him today. God is going to be big in your life, amen? To eradicate, to right now take away every godless thought. Lord, we come against every grasshopper mentality. That we might live for you freely, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God, that there's great things that are happening in this room right now. Father, baptize our children in the Holy Spirit. God, equip them with the gifts of the Spirit, Father. Give them, Lord Jesus, discernment of spirits. Give them words of wisdom, God. Let them manifest, oh Father, your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they are awesome and powerful in God. Amen. Powerful and awesome in God.
I see a new
let's worship the Lord. Let's just stand and worship the Lord.
As we pray and seek, we're on our knees. We're on our knees. So we say, Hosanna.
Come on, lift up your Hosanna before the Lord.
Hosanna. Hosanna.
Every young person that's here, and if you'd like prayer, and I mean, I don't care what age you are, 25 and under, I want to just pray for you, because I believe a lot of us have really got a need to kind of just regroup a little bit with God. You know what I'm saying? And this is your moment as well to reconnect with Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know Christ as your Savior. You don't know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, then today you can find Him to be the Lord of your life. And I'm going to ask you to come and pray with one of our altar ministers here in a minute. But today, if you're 18 or 16, you weren't up here already. Maybe you're 4, I don't know what age this stops at, but you know, up to around 25. If you want prayer, is Minister Troy still here to help me? Minister Jason, you're here. Come on up here and help me. Come on up here. If you want that prayer, I want you to come right now. Just line across the front. Just face this congregation. Come on. 18 to 25. You say, you know what? I just want to consecrate my life. I just want to dedicate my ways to the Lord. I just want my speech to be faith speech. I want my walk to be a faith walk. I want my time spent with God to be authentic. If that's you this morning, I want you to come. Altar ministers, would you come on the right and left as well? And if you're here today and you've not received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then I want you to come and pray with one of these on the far left and on the far right. And I believe that God will do something powerful in your life. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning we're so grateful, Lord, for your visitation. We're so grateful, Lord, for what you have given us. We honor you and we bless you. We thank you for our children. We thank you for homes that are built on the foundation of faith. We just give you all glory and praise right now, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. When we leave this room now, let us leave with expectation in our heart, looking for the miraculous. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Fusion Youth Group is meeting right here with Minister Jason. Tonight at 6. I don't think that's age what? 13 to 18, I'm not sure. But that will be tonight at 6 o'clock right here. So all you young people, come on back with Minister Jason. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time. Amen. Hallelujah.